This summer, our sermon series is focused on living in the Spirit. We're taking a close look at how the Holy Spirit shapes the way we live. And this includes helping us resist the evil and unholy forces and spirits that are at work in our world today that want to possess us and control us. Now, some people may think that religious folks should be immune from being possessed and controlled by unholy things. But as we'll see in today's scripture passage from Acts, that's not always the case because it can happen to anyone. Now, in this scripture passage, it comes from the fourth chapter of Acts, the religious leaders in Jerusalem had two of the disciples, Peter and John, arrested and thrown in jail for healing a crippled man, all in the name of Jesus. Now, what those religious leaders did seemed a bit extreme. So what drove them to do that? Why did they oppose the good work that Peter and John were doing? In other words, what forces had taken over their lives, driving them to act in that way? Well, we'll reflect on this now as we listen to our scripture passage. I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to open to Acts chapter 4. I'll read verses 5 through 12, and I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Again, it's Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. And this is what the scripture says. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Amen. June 3rd was an awful day at my house. Just before 11 a.m., this was on a Friday, the phone rang. Victoria answered, and she heard a voice of sheer panic and terror from our daughter, Ava. Now, no parent ever wants to hear their child like that. And the sound of her voice shook us to our core, and we knew immediately that something was terribly wrong. Now, Ava was eating lunch with a friend near Optimus Park. The park is adjacent to Sanderson High School, where she attends. And lots of students like to hang out there during their lunch break, especially in the springtime when the weather's nice. As Ava and her friend were enjoying their food, they heard the unmistakable sound of gunfire. Pop, pop, pop. Now, a kid was shot in the leg, and Ava was about 500 yards away. Thankfully, within moments, school security guards were ordering her and other students to get away and go to safety. And that's when she called home. She was in tears when she said, "There's been a shooting." I never, ever wanted to hear my child say those words about her day at school. Now, fortunately, no one died that day at Ava's school. But America has a serious problem with gun violence. And sometimes we act like there's nothing we can do to make a difference about this. Come on, we've got to do better. See, the sad reality of gun violence reminds us that there is evil in our world. There are satanic forces at work. And these forces have a way of taking control of individuals and even whole groups of people, driving them to act in destructive ways. You know, awful things happen when people are filled with a spirit of hate, revenge, fear, and racism. Awful things also happen when people give up thinking for themselves and instead let an ideology or even an unwavering commitment to a political party drive everything they do. You know, awful things happen when people become possessed by unholy forces and unholy spirits. It's clear to me that there are evil forces at work in our world, and they must be confronted. The question is, how? Now, if we respond to hate with hate, or fear with fear, or anger with anger, or violence with violence, we quickly become driven by the same unholy forces that we're trying to fight against. Now, we may not even realize what's happening to us because those unholy satanic forces are tricky little devils. They have a way of working themselves into our lives, and before we know it, our actions resemble the very thing that we're fighting against, and yet we may not see it. Now, we tell ourselves that we are doing the right thing because we're having to fight against so much evil. But let's remember that the Bible describes Satan as a deceiver and a liar. And when we allow ourselves to become under the spell of an ideology or some force like racism or hate or frankly any other force, we become convinced of our rightness, and yet we can become blind at the same time to our own faults and the ways we may be wrong. And I think this unfortunately contributes to a sense of superiority that can quickly lead us to inflict harm on those with whom we disagree. I believe this is why the Apostle Paul had so much to say about spiritual warfare. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul wrote these words, and I'll read them for you. He said, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Paul kept reminding the church that their real struggle was not against people, but the evil forces, ideologies, and systems in the world that possess people. Forces like greed, evil, fear, violence, and a lust for power. These things can capture decent people and move them to do terrible things. Now, this describes what happened to some of the religious leaders in first century Jerusalem. They were filled with a desire to protect their own power and privilege at the expense of affirming the work of God. And that put them in conflict with the followers of Jesus. They looked down on the disciples. They thought they were better than them. And they certainly didn't think they could learn anything about God from those disciples. And so, when those religious leaders heard that Peter and John had healed a crippled beggar and were preaching that there's resurrection in Jesus, they felt threatened. They were worried that they would lose their power and their influence. And so they were filled with a spirit of fear. And that spirit of fear led them to arrest Peter and John. Now, being thrown in jail and hauled in court was a terrifying situation for those two disciples. It was intimidating for them to stand in front of a council comprised of the religious elite, the wealthy, and the smartest people in the land. Given that situation, Peter could have lashed out at them in anger and fear. But the scripture tells us that Peter was actually filled with the Holy Spirit when he responded. And he essentially said to them, "What have I done? A man who couldn't walk now walks. Is that a crime?" You know, Peter's example reminds us that when we are stuck in a terrifying situation, it is helpful to review what's going on, and it may even help us see if we're part of the problem. Now, Peter was in a powerless situation as he stood before that council. Let's remember that they were the rulers. They were the ones who had power. He didn't have any. But instead of giving up, Peter put his hope in God. And as an illustration of that hope, Peter pointed to the man who had been healed, and he said in verse 10, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ that this man stands before you." You know, we all face situations that can make us feel powerless. I think we can say that about gun violence. We feel powerless to it. And we may think there's nothing we can do about it. And yet, it's in those very situations that the Holy Spirit fills us so that we might live with courage, as Peter did. Later in the fourth chapter of Acts, Peter prayed that all of Jesus' followers would live with courage as they faced the forces working against them. In verse 29, it says, "Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your words with great boldness." Peter knew that the unholy forces working against the mission of Jesus are powerful, they're intimidating, and they're deceptive. And yet he wasn't willing to give up or give in. He prayed for courage. Now, the book of Acts tells us that Peter was just an ordinary man, but because of his faith and because of his commitment to Jesus Christ, he was filled by the Spirit, and he was able to act with great courage. And that made such a big impression on other people that many came to believe in the message that he proclaimed. In other words, he gave people a reason to have hope. Now, in a similar way, we spread hope when we act courageously in the face of the unholy forces that are at work in our world. And our hope, like that of Peter, is in the resurrection. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, that resurrection is a sign to the world that all the evil in this world will eventually come to an end. Let's remember that. Now, Peter didn't let the council intimidate him. And when he courageously spoke to them, he made it clear that his mission was to heal people, not hurt them. And the first thing he talked about was the healing of that crippled man. He understood that that his mission was to do good in this world. And that's the mission Jesus has given to his followers. Of course, we all know that there are forces at work fighting against this, trying to get us to abandon that mission. Now, Peter could have easily given up. He could have quit following Jesus once he was arrested. He could have said, "You know, if this is how I get treated for helping people, then I don't think I want to do this work any longer." But he didn't give up. He was filled by the Holy Spirit, and he was empowered with hope and courage to face some very dark and unholy forces. being filled with the Holy Spirit continues to be a significant part of living the faith. You know, the Spirit inspires us to act with compassion and understanding when we face unholy forces that act hateful and judgmental. The Spirit leads us to speak the truth in the face of unholy forces that spread lies, propaganda, and misinformation. The Spirit moves us to stand up to unholy forces that prey on the weak and the powerless. The Spirit fills us with courage so that we don't give up or give in when we face forces that seem so much more powerful than us. Being filled with the right Spirit makes all the difference. But with so many unholy forces and so many unholy spirits at work in the world, how do we resist being possessed by them? To put it simply, we resist by joining the Holy Spirit in the ongoing mission of Jesus. And that mission includes doing good in the world, doing good for others. It means living with kindness. So when you're on social media and you see someone vilifying another group of people or condemning them, you might respond by saying, "Hey, I have some friends like that." Or you might even quote that scripture that says, "Whoever thinks he stands should take care lest he fall." Anybody can fall. You know, we don't overcome hate with more hate, and we don't overcome evil with more evil. We overcome it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And when we join the Spirit in the mission of Jesus, we will be able to resist the unholy forces and unholy powers that so badly want to possess us. But this isn't easy. It's not popular. And it's not even safe. You know, it takes strength and courage to live like Jesus. It takes a whole lot of strength and courage to join in His work. And Paul made that clear to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, Susan referred to this in her talk with the kids. Verse 7 says, "God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." When we do the things that Jesus did and love the people He loved and serve in the ways that He served, people may ridicule us. They may even act hateful toward us. And that's why we need a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. We need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. In Paul's own journey to faith, we see that different spirits and powers filled his life at different times. You know, he was once a violent persecutor of those who followed Jesus. He saw them as evil, and he was convinced of his own rightness. He was filled with a spirit of self-righteousness. He was filled with a spirit of anger. But once he encountered Jesus, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he soon became the one who was being persecuted. And yet the Spirit gave him boldness and courage to face beatings, imprisonment, and ultimately, according to tradition, beheading by Emperor Nero in Rome. Now, one of the themes that's most repeated in the New Testament is the theme of suffering graciously. You'll remember that Jesus instructed his own disciples to turn the other cheek. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Christ left you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. When he was insulted, he did not reply with insults. When he suffered, he did not threaten revenge, Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Friends, it takes courage to do this. It takes power. It takes self-discipline. It takes the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a spiritual battle going on. There are unholy forces and spirits that want to control us and possess us. We resist them by learning to be filled by the Holy Spirit, who gives us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. And that same Spirit equips us to face the problems, issues, and challenges of our time. Let's just make sure we are being filled by the right Spirit. Would you pray with me?